Let's turn and read God's Word together in John's Gospel, chapter 10. John's Gospel, chapter 10, and beginning to read at verse 1. There are some very familiar passages in John's Gospel, I'm sure that all of us know very well, and this is certainly one of them. But despite the fact that we know it well, let's listen to God's Word. And let's think about what the Word of God is saying to us this evening. John chapter 10 and verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture. We'll end the reading there at the end of verse 9, and we look to the Lord to bless this reading of his word to all our hearts. Last week, as we looked at Jesus and John, we were looking at John chapter 9, and we noted the healing of the man who was born blind. This was a most remarkable event, and it caused the disciples a real problem. Because when Jesus and the disciples cast their eyes upon this blind man, a man who had been blind from birth, the disciples were inquiring about who was to blame for this man's condition. Was he blind because he was a sinner? Or was he blind because of the sin of his parents? Jesus, of course, did not try to explain the connection between sin and suffering, which for the Jews was a great problem. He saw this as an opportunity for him to show that he was, in fact, their Messiah. And by healing this man who was blind from birth, it would further authenticate why God had sent him into the world in the first place. Of course, when Jesus healed him, the Pharisees were furious. They were up in arms. They reacted angrily, and it seems that no matter what Jesus Christ said about himself, and no matter what he did in the midst of these people, it didn't really matter, because their hearts were filled with unbelief, and they would not accept the Lord Jesus Christ for who he was, or indeed for any of the miracles which he did. Tonight I want to turn your thoughts to a wonderful passage of Scripture in John chapter 10. And I want very simply to show you the only entrance to heaven. We live in a very mixed up world, spiritually speaking, where so many people are being deceived and they're being led astray. We see every effort being made to unite churches, and that unity is sought irrespective of theological views and always at the expense of truth. We see every effort made to unite all kinds of different faiths, and we're told that it's on the basis that all roads will ultimately lead us to God. That's why some Christian leaders today will tell us that it doesn't matter what we believe, or indeed whether we believe anything or not, at the end of the day, somehow, all roads are going to lead us to God. Well, that is not true, and nowhere in the Scriptures will you find it to be so. In fact, our reading tonight in John 10 would tell us the opposite. Here we come to one of the great I Am sayings of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he makes it abundantly clear which road leads to heaven. And he makes this so simple and so clear that none of us will be able to leave this meeting tonight with any excuse. If we have come to the meeting and we're not a Christian yet, but we're concerned about ourselves, and we really do want to be clear in our own minds that we're ready for heaven, that come what may and come what must, it won't matter, because someday we're going to leave this scene of time behind, go out into eternity, and be absolutely sure of a place in God's heaven. If that's what we're thinking and that's how we feel, then tonight if you leave without a Savior, you've nobody but yourself to blame. Listen to what Jesus says to his hearers. He says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Let me begin with the theme of this message. Remember, in the context of these verses, the Lord Jesus Christ has just exposed the Pharisees for their hypocrisy. They were the so-called religious leaders in Jesus' day. They were the ones who looked after the spiritual welfare of those under their care. But they had just thrown a man out of the synagogue because he had dared to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. They were the so-called religious leaders, and yet they themselves were spiritually blind, and they were leading the people astray. Now, when the Lord Jesus Christ ministered to the needs of others, he was always real, he was always relevant, he was always very simple. He always captured the attention of those who were listening to him, and he made them sit up and listen, and he does exactly the same again as he takes as his theme the shepherd and the sheep. That's a theme we often read in the scriptures. This sermon that the Lord Jesus Christ gave, it was rooted in Old Testament symbolism. But Jesus Christ takes it and he uses it for his own purpose. It's something these people could identify with. They would have known that Jehovah was the shepherd of his people. He was a good and a faithful shepherd despite the rebellion and the waywardness of his people on so many occasions. So these people were listening to Jesus speak about something that they could easily identify with and something that they could clearly understand. In fact, the area where Jesus was ministering was an area used for the grazing and tending of sheep. It was a rough area, it was a dangerous area, and it meant that the sheep not only needed a shepherd, but they couldn't be left alone because of the danger that they would often face. So Jesus uses this whole situation. He turns it around for his own spiritual gain, and he reminds these people of what they were like. And he reminds them they were like sheep without a shepherd. They were wandering aimlessly and hopelessly without any real purpose in life. They were being led by false shepherds who didn't know the way themselves. And the Lord Jesus Christ had to remind them that he had come, the good shepherd, to give his life for sheep, just like these wandering sheep he speaks about in John 10. You know, when you and I come to the Word of God, God's Word always and often describes us in terms of being wayward, of being stubborn, of being rebellious, of being weak, just like the sheep that Jesus here has in mind. In fact, Isaiah the prophet reminds us on one occasion what we're really like, for he says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Sheep are simple animals. At times peaceful, at other times stubborn and wayward. And the Bible says that spiritually speaking, every single one of us are like that. We've all gone astray. We all want to do our own thing. We want to have control of our own lives. We always feel that we know what's best for us, even though we cannot see the consequences of our sin. That's why there are some of you tonight in places that you never intended to be. That's why some of you are doing things that you never intended to do. You're simply aiming through life, looking for some kind of purpose, looking for something that will lead you to the place where you need to be, but because you're going your own way and because you're doing your own thing, it's leading you further and further away from God. Jesus looks at these people and he could see them with all their weakness and with all their waywardness. But they were the very people that the Lord Jesus Christ had come to save. I was once like that, but thank God I can sing tonight, I have a shepherd, one I love so well. How he has blessed me, tongue can never tell. On the cross he suffered, shed his blood and died, that I might ever in his love confide. We all need a shepherd. We all need a savior. For without his leading and without his salvation, we will continue on a pathway of sin that will lead us further from God, and ultimately the Bible says it will lead us out into the caverns of the doomed and the damned. But Jesus looks at these people. He's warning them of the danger of these false shepherds. After all, these same people had just witnessed their hypocrisy and their hostility. These people were being led astray, and yet they didn't really know it. I'm convinced there are multitudes of people in our society, and maybe some people sitting here tonight, and they're being led astray. They think they're all right the way they are, and yet that's not true. They think they're traveling on the right way to heaven and home, and yet that is not true either. We've been out on the doors, standing in the square, talking to people over the past couple of days. I met a lady who came and began to chat with me, and said it was great to see the church out doing this kind of work, because it was so good that in these days, dark days in which we're living, that all the churches were coming together. It was a wonderful thing to share our faith. And I asked her what her faith was. And then we began to chat. And then we got down to the nitty-gritty and we began to talk about salvation. And then we both understood that her understanding and mine were poles apart. You know why? So many people are being misled. Misled by their churches. Misled by ministers who themselves don't know anything about God's salvation. Misled by organizations who know nothing about the way of salvation. And what they're doing is they are offering people another way apart from Christ, but it's the wrong way. And don't you be misled. You say, Pastor, what do you mean by that? Let me tell you what I mean by that. I mean that there is no other way but God's way, and that is the way of the cross. In other words, we can only be saved on the basis of Christ's death for us on the cross. The hymn writer says this, and it's worth repeating, I saw the cross of Jesus when burdened with my sin. I sought the cross of Jesus to give me peace within. I brought my sins to Jesus. He cleansed them in his blood. And in the cross of Jesus, I found my peace with God. There's no other way but God's way. And that is the way of the cross. It was there on the cross at Calvary that the Lord Jesus Christ gave himself for your sins and for mine. It was there on the cross that Jesus Christ did something for us that we could never ever do for ourselves. Our sin had separated us from God. Our sin controlled the way we lived. We had to be brought back again, or we had to be bought back again from those dark paths of sin. And only the Lord Jesus Christ could do that. And he did it when he went to the cross, and there he died as a sacrifice for our sins. There he died as our substitute, giving us the opportunity to turn away from our sin and to trust in him for salvation, that we find in him all that we need in time and for eternity. Friends, there's no other way but the cross. There's no other hope but Christ. Men may try other avenues and set their hearts in other things and depend and trust in all kinds of methods, but they will discover that their efforts are futile. Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone is able to save us from our sins, and he's able to give us peace with God. The ship was on its way across the Atlantic on one occasion when it got into difficulties. Not only was the ship sinking, but it was discovered that there were not enough lifeboats on the ship to save all on board. Frantically, the people were filling up the lifeboats and getting off that sinking ship. One woman was standing on the deck. She had her young child by the hand, and there they stood together, and she was encouraged time and time again to come and to squeeze into one of these lifeboats that she might be saved. She said she would do no such thing. She stood on the deck and she said to those who were frantically climbing off the sinking ship, she said, "Listen, I have spoken with the captain, and the captain has assured me it's much safer for me to stay on board." And they pleaded with her, and she wouldn't budge an inch. And as the lifeboats lifted out to sea, those who were found in the place of safety looked up, and they could see the woman still standing on the deck, with one hand holding her daughter and the other hand holding the captain. And the three of them sank together and perished in the seas beneath. I say this very reverently, but I'll say it anyway and stand by it. I know some people tonight who should be and who could be in the place of safety, but they're still convinced the way that they are. And you know what they're doing? They're standing on the religious deck that they have built for themselves, where they're comfortable. And they're standing on that deck, and they're standing so firmly that they'll not budge an inch. And people are getting saved all around them and coming to Christ and making their way home to heaven. And these people are still standing there on the deck of their own religion, and they're perishing, but they don't want to move. They don't want to move. Because they've been told by somebody they're all right the way they are. They've been told by somebody that they've everything that they need in their religion. They've been told that they're holding on to that which will last for eternity. And the sad thing is, they don't even know it, that their vessel is soon to be wrecked on the rocks of despair. Friend, if you're not saved tonight, I'm saying to you, you need to jump ship. If you're still in your sin and sinking fast, here's the good news of the gospel. There's a gospel lifeboat, and it's passing your way tonight. And the Lord Jesus Christ, the only Savior for sinners, he's waiting and he's willing to save you. And with outstretched arms that bear all the marks of Calvary, he's longing to take you off that religious deck of yours that's soon going to sink into the mire. And he's willing to lift you and bring you to yourself. And he's willing to set you on the road to heaven. you remain as you are, you'll be lost and lost for all eternity. But if you come to Christ, you'll be saved, and you'll be saved for all eternity. The theme of this message, the truth in this message, listen again to what the Savior says so that we don't misunderstand this. He says, I am the door, by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. As far as the only entrance to heaven is concerned, let me underline three very simple things for you. As far as this access is concerned, Jesus is the only way. He says, I am the door. And that door is the only door that's open to us tonight. We have a family we're very friendly with. We don't have many friends, but they're one of them. And I always laugh when they come to the house to spend some time with us, because as you leave one of our rooms to go out, there are three doors that are facing you. They always say good night and walk into the bathroom. Always, without fail. They just stand and they look at the three doors and they turn around and they've shaken our hands and thanked us for the fellowship and they walk straight into the bathroom. And they always take the wrong door. I can't help but think that some of you are knocking at the wrong door tonight. You're pushing as hard as you can to get it open, and it's only going to lead you further away from God and deeper into your sin. The Lord Jesus Christ is the door, and that's the only door that is open to any one of us tonight. Remember when Jesus is speaking about the shepherd and the sheep here. As far as the sheep in Bible times were concerned, when they were all rounded up, and when they were all guided into the pen or into an enclosure, there was no door. So when the sheep were safely gathered in, the shepherd would lie down in the open space of the enclosure, and literally, quite literally, he would become the door of the sheep. In other words, there was no way in. And there was no way out except by the shepherd. And when the Lord Jesus Christ takes this, and when he applies it to himself, he's declaring a wonderful truth. And it's a truth that many need to grasp. It may be simple, it may be repetitive, but man or woman, listen, you need to grasp it, lest you're lost in hell forever and you miss the door. It's through him and him alone that men and women have access to God. It's through him and him alone that your sins and mine can be dealt with. It's through him and through him alone that men and women can have an access into God's presence. No matter what way we look at this, and no matter how many different ways we seek to explain it, we're always going to come back to the same conclusion. Neither is there salvation in any other. There is no other name under heaven given amongst men whereby you and I must be saved. You can't come any other way, for he is the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other name that you can plead. Only the name of Jesus will suffice. And there are no other merits that you can claim but his death upon the cross. Those are the only merits we have. We're accepted on that basis alone. Your righteousness and mine in the sight of God are just filthy rags, and they will never do. The religious man may depend on his church, may be steeped in religion, but salvation's found in a person and not a religious system. The self-righteous man may speak about his upbringing and his good works, but at the end of the day, he's a sinner just like me and you, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The rich man may boast about his wealth, hope to get to heaven on his own standing. Money gives him no standing with God. If he's ever going to be redeemed, it'll not be with money. It will only be with the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, Jesus is the truth, the way that leads you into rest. Believe in him without delay, and you are fully blessed. As far as this access is concerned, Jesus is the only way. As far as this access is concerned, it leads to an abundance of life. I am the door, by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. It's a lovely picture that's brought to us. If we come to Christ, there is life more abundant waiting for us. If we come to Christ, we'll find in him everything that we need. If we come to Christ, we shall be saved. Saved from every sin. Saved from the power and the penalty of sin. Saved from wrath to come. Saved for the whole of eternity. I tell you tonight, it's a wonderful thing to be saved. And you could be saved this very tight, if only you trust Christ as your Savior. I know the devil has promised much and provided much, but it's of no lasting value. So many are involved in things that are fleeting and passing and enjoying the pleasures of the world, but only for a season. The pleasures of the world are many, promise much, but they ruin lives, they wreck homes, and they condemn souls. Whereas Jesus has come that we might have life, and that we might have it in abundance. Some of you will say tonight, I wouldn't want this salvation because it's restrictive and it's dull and it's boring. Nothing could be further from the truth. Oh, I know, like you, some Christians who may endure their salvation, but most of the ones I know are enjoying it. And I'll tell you why. The Lord Jesus Christ not only saves, but he completely satisfies. Under the burden of guilt and shame, many a spirit is grieving. Who in the joy of the Lord might share life everlasting receiving? As far as this access is concerned, Jesus is the only way. As far as this access is concerned, it leads to an abundance of life. And as far as this access is concerned, thank God the door is still opened. This way is open for you and for me tonight in this meeting, whatever our sin and whatever our state, whatever our age, whatever our background, whatever our religion, or whether we have a religion or not. Jesus says, by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Not only is this door opened unto us, but if we enter that door by faith tonight, we shall received, and you have his word on that. But you know the problem? The door of opportunity that's open tonight for you might well be shut tomorrow and shut forever. This invitation that goes out to you this evening in the gospel is extended. And it's extended from the heart of a loving God who longs to save you and set you free from your sin and your bondage to Satan. But that invitation may not be extended on another night, because the door of opportunity might be shut, or you might not be here to hear it. You say, "But Pastor, I'm going nowhere." How do you know? This Bible says that you're here today and you could be gone tomorrow. And that's why you need to grasp the opportunity while the door is open unto you. Because the day will come, it will be shut and shut forever. Jesus has already said to these people in a previous chapter, and we thought about it one Sunday evening. He said, "You shall seek me and shall not find me, and where I am, you cannot come." A time when it's too late to find Christ. You know, when the people of Noah's day laughed at that old preacher of righteousness, he continued to build the ark until the day the floods came, and then the door was shut fast. It was God who shut them in, and it was God who shut the others out. And when the door was shut fast, their day of opportunity had gone. It wasn't that they didn't have countless privileges, because Noah preached God's word to them. It wasn't that they didn't have an opportunity to respond, it was because they rejected it. But when they came, the door was shut fast, and the door of opportunity had gone. That's how it will be someday for you. The door's open this evening, and if you come to Christ, you might be saved and saved this very night. You'll find new life in Christ, and He'll give you a new life to begin with. And He'll not just bless you, He'll bless you abundantly. But you may desire to come some other night. The time of opportunity will have gone and the door will be shut fast. And you think about another Sunday night, and a Sunday night might just be another night too late. The hymn writer says, "Still out of Christ, yet for you there is mercy. If you're willing to turn from your sin, yonder He stands at the door of salvation, waiting to pardon and welcome you in." There's only one entrance to heaven. And if you miss Christ, heaven you will never see. The door of opportunity is open for you tonight, that you might come to Christ and leave your sin and be gloriously saved. It might never be opened unto you again. And that's why you need to seek the Lord while He's yet to be found. And you call upon Him while He is near. There'll be many people, sadly, in hell who plan to come through that door, who set their heart in heaven, but they bypassed the cross and they never made it to Christ. And their cry in hell tonight is too late. You're not too late. You're still in time and not in eternity. The door is open. The invitation is extended. And if you don't come tonight, you might never come at all. Now let's pray. The little hymn comes to mind this evening, and what a question it asks. Have you any room for Jesus, he who bore your load of sin, as he knocks and asks admission, sinner, will you let him in? Or tonight, if you're not saved, come to the cross by faith and trust Christ for salvation. You'll never have a better opportunity than right now. And what should concern you and me is this, that you might never have another opportunity. So come to Christ this evening. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your Son into the world to be our Savior. Thank you that in your grace and mercy, you have not only planned salvation, but purchased it through the death of your own dear Son. And we bless you tonight that the gospel boat is passing by, and all who reach out to Christ by faith might be gloriously and eternally saved. Will you give grace tonight to some that they'll not miss this opportunity, lest it be the last they ever have? O God, our Father, in the stillness of the moment, speak to all our hearts for Christ's sake. Amen.